Well, let's get into the Word of God. And the Word of God has so much to say about peace that it could be confusing. The Word of God is filled with peace. Our God is called God of Peace. Jesus Christ, one of his name is Prince of Peace. Okay? When Jesus would suddenly appear in a room and people would be freaked out, he would say, "Peace be unto you." We have a lot of young people here. And before I was 30 years old, I never thought about peace. I thought about joy a lot, right? Young people, we want joy. We want to have fun. But after about 30, you really start treasuring peace. I know what happened for me. Until 30, I didn't really care about peace. I just wanted a lot of fun, a lot of energy. We can make it work. We can persevere and go through certain things. But after about 30, I started to realize how important peace is in my life. And then I started preaching on a series called Anxiety. And I realized that opposite of anxiety is peace. And there's no in between. So either you're anxious and worried and stressed out, or you're walking in peace. How many of you don't want to be anxious? How many of you have been in the moments where you wanted to puke, not because you had a hangover, but because you were so stressed out and you just needed peace? Amen. You were so anxious. And so God wants to fill us with His peace. Over 500 times in the Bible, He mentions the word peace. He wants you to walk in peace. Now, what is peace? Peace is calmness of soul in spite of life's storms and life's problems and circumstances. Peace is not life without trouble. Peace is life in the midst of trouble. How many of you stop living as soon as somebody said something bad about you? Now, I don't mean stop breathing, but I mean stop living. You know, there's a difference between living and breathing and living and just breathing. Life, to me, means more than just breathing and being alive. It means joy. It means this calmness of my soul. It means I'm satisfied. Many of us have big dreams in this church. Many of us have big goals, and we have this, and sometimes what we can do is we stress ourselves out because, God, when is your promises are going to come into my life? You know what? We need to learn to enjoy every single day of our life. I remember one day, many years ago, I was working at a tree company, and I would get so stressed out because I would be behind. Have you ever been behind on something and you had three things ahead and you were still here, but your mind was already three places ahead? And God said to me, "Don't worry about tomorrow." The scripture came to me, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow." I said, "God, I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about three jobs ahead." And God said, "Don't worry about the next job. Be here. I gave you enough energy, enough strength to do this job. So don't worry about the next job." And the thing that God taught me, don't worry about next hour. Some of you worry about tomorrow. I worry about next hour. I worry about 10 minutes from now. And God says, don't worry. That same scripture applies to same principle. Don't worry about, if it's hour for you, don't worry about next hour. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next year. Don't worry about next year. So peace, and listen to my little quote that I came up with, what peace is. Peace is not getting troubled when going through trouble. Okay, let me say that again because you might have missed that one. Peace is not getting troubled when going through trouble. Meaning when you go through something, you don't get troubled. Many times, however, that's not true for us. We get really troubled as soon as somebody said something negative about us. As soon as we get a few haters on our tail, all right? Someone else says, peace is that calmness of mind that is not ruffled by adversity, overclouded by remorseful conscience, or disturbed by fear. That's what peace is. Peace is having someone bigger than yourself and your problems on your side. It's walking with somebody bigger than you. For example, let's say you had a rich father, and he said, whenever you have problems financially, just come to me and I'll always cover you. How many of you would be worried about money? Seriously. How many of you would be worried about money if you had a father to fall back on who said, whatever you need, I got you? I bet you you'd never worry about money. So how come when we have a God, the Father, the creator of the universe, right? How come we don't trust him when he says, I will take care of all your needs? Because our faith level is a little down. So peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is having that calmness in the midst of problems. Peace doesn't come with the absence of storms. It comes in the presence of storms because we know that Jesus, someone who's greater than us, is walking next to us. Amen? Jesus never promised us a life without problems. I know there is churches, there's prosperity preachers who say, and I am a prosperity preacher too, but I don't say that. But they say that if you trust in God, if you have faith in God, no bad things will ever happen to you. That's a lie. Because Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have trouble or tribulation. But be of good courage because I have overcome the world. So Jesus himself said, you will have problems. You will never escape away from your problems. But he says, be courageous because I have overcome your problems. And at the end, you will win over all your problems. Hallelujah. I want to start with a story, and I've already started. Let me read one scripture to you, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope. So when God thinks of you, he's not thinking how to punish you. He's thinking how to give you more peace. How cool is that? That your Father in heaven cares so much that he thinks thoughts of peace towards me and towards you. That's awesome. Hallelujah. About 10 years ago, I told you this before, I worked as a tree trimmer. And one day we were hired to trim trees for a guy in a rich neighborhood. And in a rich neighborhood, people are very picky, okay? Very picky. Those rich folks. And we were trimming trees, and one of the trees we were supposed to trim, was not a big tree, was close to the lot line. And so the owner said, yeah, trim that too. So we trimmed that tree. As soon as I trimmed the tree, I'm still probably having a chainsaw in my hand, branches all over. I hear this yell, this scream, this man cursing, and I can't make it off. So I turn off my chainsaw. I turn around, and here I see a man, skinny, older, 65, 70, maybe pushing, you know, older man, running, waving his arm at me, cursing at the top of his lungs through the whole neighborhood. With the left hand or right hand, he's pulling an oxygen tank, cursing at me. I said, what's wrong? I'm like panicking. I mean, crying almost like, oh, what did you do? Who told you to trim this tree? I said, well, the owner hired me to trim this tree. And he's just cussing. I mean, he's stuttering and cussing. Here, this little old lady behind him going like, oh, no, oh, no. She's like, I don't want none of this. You're embarrassing me to him. What did you do? I said, sir, if you have more questions, go to the owner of this house. And I guess they were not on best terms. Okay? Go to the owner of this house and talk. I'm just doing my job. And it is his tree, so he does have a right to trim it. Well, I love the shade of it. Well, I know you do. But maybe you need to mind your own business. But that's his tree. And he needs, I didn't say that. I'm always nice to my customers. So he was cussing till he couldn't breathe anymore because he already had, you know, little things going into his nose, you know, oxygen going to his nose. And here he is walking with that stick cussing. And then he couldn't cuss anymore and started going. And his wife is like, and I'm like, sir, are you okay? Yeah. He was threatening me too. You know how people, when they lose their peace, people can do, devil can get your tongue and start using it against you. And so his wife, you know, and me calmed him down. I said, go talk to the neighbor. He's like, I don't want to talk to him. Well, what do you say to your neighbor? When it's his tree, you know, you can't really do much. So he goes inside of the house. He's fuming. Later, his wife comes out. We're almost done with the job. His wife comes out. Listen, he's so sorry. Can you come in and talk to him? So I come in. He invites me to his house, to his kitchen table. I still remember newspaper laying on his table. He's like, can I get you a beer, man? He didn't know I was a pastor. But can I get you a beer, a coffee, anything? A Diet Coke will do, sir. You know, so I'm here sitting with him. Now he's calm. You know, he's all nice. He's feeling guilty. I could tell. He's really guilty. So he's like, hey, listen, you know, I was thinking about, I'm sorry, you know, I'm a Christian and stuff like that. I shouldn't do that, you know. You would be surprised how many Christians you meet outside of the church who act totally like the devil. I'm telling you, man, they channel the devil from hell with their tongue. The honest truth, it could be a deacon in church. Please don't tell me you're Christian, right? It's a true story, guys. This is, we got to watch our tongue, because we're cursing ourselves with our tongue when we start saying those things. Then we're teaching our kids, and then we slap them saying, why are you cussing? Well, mama cusses, daddy cusses. You know, what do you want from me? Shut the, you know. What? That's the truth. So he brings me to the table. He's like, you know what? I was thinking about trimming my trees too. I'm like, yeah, well, great. I'm here. Let's do it. So the last picture I remember of him, he wrote me a check. I don't know if he's still alive today. I don't think so, because he was in bad shape. He wrote me a check. I trimmed his trees. I went home, and I was happy. I don't know. He was probably atoned his guilt, you know. He paid for his guilt and sin. But the thing is this. You get the point. Big picture. Peace. Satan is after your peace. He's not after your money, because if he could take your peace, he could take your money. Have you ever had a problem in your car or your truck? It's a little problem. It's a starter. You know, the starter's clicking. Click, click, click. And so the devil, what he wants to do is make you lose peace, right? So what he does is says, that's it. This car is over. And then if you're an emotional person, you start believing those emotions. And then he says, that's it. You got to go buy a new car. So you're like, well, I don't have any down payment. I have bad credit. They'll charge you four times for a car. They'll charge you a humongous percentage. But guess what? You can get a new car. See, when Satan took your peace, he has you running. He has you running, and you start making mistakes. As soon as he takes your peace, he gives you a little symptom in your stomach, and you're like, oh, it's tumors. It's incurable, man. That's it. I'm going to die, right? Satan likes to exaggerate it. He likes to put this big binoculars. Whenever you lose your peace, Satan takes these big glasses, puts them on your head, and you see these little problems, and they become huge. And you're like, ah. He wants to take your peace. Then he can destroy your family. Your husband said something negative, and Satan says, when you keep your peace, you have power to forgive him. When you don't have peace, you start thinking negative. You start reminding him of everything he did since he met you. Right? Tell me if I'm telling you the truth. Amen. That's why God wants us to walk in peace. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says this, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Now notice that it says the God of peace will crush Satan under whose feet? Your feet. Okay, so let's talk about this. Whenever you don't have any peace, Satan is crushing your head under his feet. Whenever you walk in peace, then the God of peace puts Satan under your feet. Okay? Can I have a few guys come out? Who are the brave guys? Front row. Jonah, come on up. Come on. Eric, can you guys lay down over here? Make sure they could see your head. So lay this way. Straight. Lay down. Yep. Not on your stomach, on your back. And Eric, you're over here. So this is you and no peace. Satan has you under his feet. Have you ever had pressure, stress, that somebody was crushing your head? How many of you have had that? We've all had that. That's such a pressure from the devil. Guess what it is? It's Satan putting his foot on your head. Can we have a Satan here somehow? So let's say this is Satan right here. Rock and roll, come on up. This is Satan. And whenever a problem comes your way and you walk in peace, guess what God does? God and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. So God gives you power into your foot. Okay? So now your foot is in power. Okay? Do it. And then God, listen to that. And the God of peace will, not God of love, not God of grace, not God of mercy. Why not? God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Get it? So what do you want to do? You want to walk in peace or do you want to walk in anxiety? When you walk in anxiety, guys, Satan does this. Does that hurt? Yeah, okay. Got strong hands. Thank you. Give him a hand. Thank you, guys. So may the God and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. I want him under my feet. That's the promise. From the Garden of Eden to Eve, your seed will crush Satan, serpent, under your feet. Hallelujah. That's why Satan fights for your peace. Whenever he takes your peace, he can take anything he wants from you. He can take your money. He can take anything he wants from you. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. God expects us to walk in peace. You know, a lot of times we as younger crowd here think, well, peace is for those who died. You know, rip in peace. Rest in peace. Rip in peace. R.I.P. Peace is for those who died. That's it. No. Peace is not for those who died. Yes, we'll have perfect peace in heaven, but God wants to fill us with peace here. You know, living a Christian life is almost impossible. Good Christian life in a world that we live in is almost impossible without peace. We got elections coming. Now, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Hint. But got to go vote. But it's crazy time. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. You know that during election, after somebody wins and somebody loses, the psychiatrist's offices are filled with people who are going cuckoo for cocoa because their guy lost. They can't function in the world anymore. Listen, it doesn't matter who wins. Jesus still sits on a throne. Jesus is not the Lord of Democrats or Republicans. He's the Lord of all. All of us are his children. So whoever you vote for, and I would encourage you to vote your values, but guess what? Whoever you vote for and whoever wins. I don't know who's going to win. My guy might not win. And I voted already. Okay? My guy might not win. But I'm going to be in peace because Jesus is in control. It's not the president who gives me my peace. It's God of peace who fills my heart. Hallelujah. You know, our marriages would be so much better if we just constantly walked in peace of God. So I want to give you 5 steps to crazy peace. I don't know if that's the right word. Step number one, perfect peace comes from the God of peace. Isaiah 48:17. I love this scripture. When I was 17, I discovered this scripture. And I have been loving it since before I even understood it. Isaiah 48:17. Listen to what God says. Because perfect peace comes from the God of peace. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. Redeemer means what? Buy back. He bought you back. From who? Who used to belong to, right? Who was the Lord of our life before Jesus came and became the Lord of our life? Satan. Okay. The Holy One of Israel. I'm the Lord your God who teaches you. Pay attention to this one. Who teaches you to say it. Prophet. Prophet is good. The Lord God teaches you to prophet. In everything you do, God wants you to profit. Okay? I know that Christianity has got a bad rep that in order to be a good Christian, you must be weak, poor, and you must not have any goals, no passion, nothing. You're just supposed to be. No, that's not what God wants you to do. Look at the Bible and see how many times God wants you to profit. How many times God wants you to prosper. How many times God wants you to be successful in the midst of problems? Okay? I'm the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit. So why do you come to church on Sunday? Why do you read Bible for yourself? Why do you teach your kids about this word? Because this word teaches us to prosper. When we start walking away from God, we don't get better. We get worse. Okay? But God wants us to profit. He leads you by the way that you should go. There's a way the devil wants for you to go. There's a way that you want to go. But God leads you to the way that you should go. The best place for you. A lot of us are bored in life. You know why? Because we don't follow the way that we should go. You know that God has perfect life for you, said David says, before any of my days, before I lived any of my days, you had my life planned out from the beginning to the end. So God knows his perfect plan for you and for me. Now, our job is to discover that plan, okay, and be led by the Spirit. You know what the Bible says? Those who are led by the Spirit are truly sons and daughters of God. So God wants you to be led, and he will lead you. See, Satan will always lead you something that will harm you. God will lead something that will prosper you. Now, there's exceptions, because you can say, what about people who suffer and die for Jesus in third world countries, who get persecuted? Different story. We can talk about that later. But today, we live in the most prosperous country in the nation. We have no excuse. Nobody's persecuting us. Okay? So the Lord will lead you in the way that you should go. Now, Satan will always lead you away from something that brings you good. God will always lead you to the thing that will bring you the most good. Amen? And listen to this. Verse 18. Oh, that you would heed my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. If you would heed my commandments. Commandments of God have got a bad rap in the world. Because we think that commandments of God are there to restrict us from fun. And we want to have fun. And the two commandments, biggest two commandments, Jesus said this, still active today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of us think the commandments of God are bad because they're there to restrict us. But let me tell you this, the commandments of God are the best thing that you could ever discover and learn and live by. When God says, love the Lord your God, the reason he says that is because he doesn't want you to love something else. How many of you know in this world we have originals and we have copies or fakes? We have original money, $100 bill, and then we have fake $100 bill. Imagine walking in a parking lot of a mall and walking in here, $100 bill. Perfect. You pick it up and you're like, man, something doesn't feel right. You know, they have good copies machines now. So you go to the bank and say, hey, is this real? I just found this. And then they call 911 on you and pick you up because you're, anyway, no. But it's not real. You would be mad, right? Government would be mad at you. Imagine, ladies, if you bought a purse that said it's Gucci or Louis Vuitton, Prada, my cat. You bought it. You're like, man, finally I can afford this. And then you realize there was a cheap knockoff. How would you feel? You would be really mad. Okay? But how would the person who makes Prada feel? They would be really, really mad. So when God says, why? Because you bought something fake. You bought something that's not the original, that looked like the original. Well, God is the same way. God says, why would you worship a false thing, a fake thing that could never satisfy you, that could never bring you peace when you have something original and real? That's why God says, love the Lord your God, because he wants your maximum joy. Maximum joy comes from the original, not from a copy. Amen. Maximum joy. That's what he wants for your maximum joy, your life to the fullest. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I come to give you life to the fullest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So listen to this. If you heed my commandments, if you listen to my commandments, then your peace would be like a river. What is it about river that reminds us of peace? River is continuous. When it says there, your peace would be like a river, rivers rarely dry up. Now, we're in a dry season right now in our country, right? But our Sioux Falls River is still, there's still water there. I was at waterfalls and there's still water flowing from the falls. And that's what God says. If you pay attention to my commandments, your peace would be like a river. That's why Satan works so hard to try to take you away from his commandments. Don't read it. They're restrictive. When you give your child a commandment, say, don't go to the highway, do you restrict them because you hate them? No, you love them because you know that they have no sense and they're going to go there and become like my dog that went there and dead, right? So when God says, gives you these commandments, he loves you. He wants your perfect peace, your perfect. Now, yes, maybe God doesn't give you instant gratification, but guess what? Over a long period of time, Bible says there's a big difference, those who serve God and those who don't. Hallelujah. So we serve an awesome God. God who wants to bless his children with peace. God who enjoys crushing Satan under your feet. God who enjoys to set up a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God who's happy. He's looking from heaven and going, yeah. Yeah, look at this. My children are crushing that devil under their feet. Hallelujah. God is excited. God is about your ultimate joy, your maximum peace, your maximum joy. When you became a Christian, a little box was imparted into your heart. It's called Kingdom of God. Have you ever had a safe that you didn't know combination to? And you might have had money there? We have the safe, right, in a basement of the church, and nobody can open it. It's concrete in the floor. Now, don't go bringing any dynamite here next Sunday. We have security in the back, but nobody's been able to open it. And I've always wondered, is there any money in there? You know, what's in there? When you became a Christian, there's this box called Kingdom of God has been deposited into you. And the Kingdom of God is this: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you want to know what God wants for you, he wants you righteousness. Why? Because when you start walking away from righteousness, you start hurting yourself and you start hurting others. So let's say this. You decided to cheat on your wife. Watch how many people you're hurting. You have 3 kids, 5 kids, 2 kids, 1 kid. God says, do not commit adultery, right? Watch how many people. Watch how wise God is and how wise that commandment is. Watch this. You hurt your spouse. You hurt your kids. You hurt somebody else's spouse. You hurt somebody else's kids. Now these kids, that house might get divorced. The kids might be without a father. Or without a mother. You see what God means when he says, do not do something? It's not because he is an angry God, wants to give you a whole bunch of rules. No, because he cares for me and he cares for you. All his word is about you, to help you live a good life, to leave an inheritance for your children, and not give half of your income away. God is a good God. He's a wise God. He wants to give us peace. If you heed my commandments, your peace will be continual like a river. I want continual peace. I've achieved a lot of things that I wanted to achieve in my life. And that's not enough if you don't have peace. You could be rich. You can have the best things in life, but you don't have peace. God says, I want you to have peace. Solomon says, it's better to have a piece of bread with peace than a house full of steaks and good wine, and with it a lot of anxiety and stress and worry. Peace, that's what we want. But a lot of times we go for things to give us that peace. But God says, when you get those things, that won't give you peace. And listen to this. Your peace would be like a river, and your righteousness would be like waves. What about waves? Waves always come in. If you've ever been on the ocean, there's always waves. They just keep coming and covering you, covering you, covering you. God says, I will cover you with righteousness, with righteousness, with righteousness. Amen? And then verse 22, there's no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. You want to live a wicked life, you'll never have peace. You want to go against this word, you'll never have peace. That's the price you pay. So choose. There's no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. That's just it. So if you have a lot of anxieties, check yourself. See why, Lord. And maybe you're not wicked. Maybe you're just worried. Okay? There's God has an answer for you. But if you're wicked, there's no peace. Don't even expect it. Okay? I know we're not supposed to think that anybody's wicked, but there's a lot of wicked people out there. Okay? There is. Isaiah 26:3. Give you more scriptures. Isaiah 26:3. I know I might not finish this message, and that's okay. Got 5 minutes. says this, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God because he trusts in you. When you start seeing this word and when you start living this word, you will discover God that is more powerful, God that is bigger than anything, any of your problems. God who was with David is the same God that's with you. God that was with Joseph is the same God that's with you. God that was with Paul is the same God that is walking with you. You begin to trust that person who's next to you, who's walking with you. See, when you don't look at the Bible, you don't know who this person is that's next to you. How do you know who he is? Yeah, I got God in my heart, but what does that mean? Most people don't know. Yeah, he's powerful, but what does that mean? See, but when you learn about him from the word, you begin to realize how big he is. He can destroy armies like this. Egyptians tried to attack Israel when they were passing the Red Sea. In 1 second, the whole army of Egypt was gone. Now you can trust that kind of a God who never abandons you, who never leaves you, who never forsakes you. But it has to come from the knowledge of his word. And faith comes from hearing the word of God. So the Bible says, set your mind on him. You will keep him in perfect peace. If you set your mind on him, you won't set your mind on your emotions. You won't set your mind on everybody else's business. You won't set your mind on material things to make you happy. If you set your eyes and your mind on him, you won't have time to set your mind on everything else. So you choose. I choose to set my mind on him. I choose to trust him. I choose to walk with him. I choose to know who he is. I think I'm going to be finished here because we have communion. I want you to know that God wants to crush Satan under your feet. Your peace comes from God of peace. And the third one, set your mind on him. You can set your mind on your problems, or you can set your mind on him, a God who takes care of all of your problems. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's a good God. He's teaching you to profit. Aren't you glad you came? Because many of you will profit. Some of you are resisting God and resisting his laws. You can be a Christian. He could be living in your heart, but you're still resisting him. And the word of God says, yield to him and you will prosper. Yield. What does that mean? When God is saying you to do this, you know what's right, do this. And you're like, I don't know. That's resisting. Yield. Don't fight his commandments. Don't fight his word. Obey it. And say, God, it's hard for me. I tell him all the time, God, I know it says that, but it's hard for me. God, I know it says that. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Why do you say this to me? He knows what's good for us. Don't wait. Don't pray for peace. Don't wait for God to give you a pill of peace. He won't do it. The doctors already do that. But there's this proverb. I don't know what proverb it is. Ancient proverb. Teach a man how to fish, and he will feed himself for a lifetime. Give a man a fish, and he'll be hungry by dinner. Right? So, I used to be this super spiritual guy. I was seeking God to give me all these big things that appear in my life, and peace would come, and I had anger issues, and anger would disappear, and God would not do it. This wise proverb, it's not in the Bible, but teach a man to fish. And so God says, go to my word. I'll teach you how to walk in peace, and then I won't have to give you every single time, because you already have peace within you. As a Christian, it's been deposited in you. You have prints of peace living in your heart. Now you need to open it up. You need to learn to walk in it. You need to mind your own business sometimes. You don't have to get into everybody's problems. You could stop borrowing money if that's causing you a lot of stress. If you're worried about your health, maybe you should start eating better. All right? I'm all about presence of God. I really am. I love the presence of God. And God does, listen, don't get me wrong, God does fill us with peace in his presence. But we're not to seek experience. We're to seek to live the life of peace. Hallelujah. I love his word. Don't you? Man, he's teaching us so much today. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Whatever Satan is trying to do in your life, whatever buttons he's trying to push in you, God, through peace, will crush him under your feet. Seek this peace, people. It will make your marriage so much better. When you have peace in your heart, man, it eliminates so many fights. It will eliminate so many relationship, quarrels and things like that. God wants to do that for you through his word.